It is 12 o'clock. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We are breaking into our regular programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. Today from the Health Department, the latest update we're hearing is that the state has 3,001 cases, just over the 3,000 mark for total number of people who have ever tested positive for the coronavirus in Arkansas. And deaths from COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus, has risen to 50 again. Just over 3,000 total cases of the coronavirus in the state and 50 deaths. Over the weekend, we heard a briefing from Governor Hutchinson and Education Secretary Johnny Key saying that no high school graduation ceremonies will be allowed prior to the 1st of July. They said that that is understandably disappointing, but that it is necessary to encourage social distancing and to flatten the curve here in Arkansas to encourage people to not join large gatherings of people. And as, of course, we know that there will not be any more in-person classes in high schools, elementary schools, middle schools in Arkansas through the rest of the academic year. We heard late last week, a large increase of cases in the Cummins Unit prison in southeast Arkansas near Pine Bluff. A number of inmates and staff have tested positive at that prison. The latest tally, I believe, is about 700 for total inmates and staff at the prison. We haven't heard an update since last week on that. It's not expected to we can't expect if it's going to go up or down. Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith and Governor Asa Hutchinson both saying that they are still testing inmates and staff at that prison, but it's unclear whether we will hear an update on that today. We also heard that the parole board is going to be considering a list of 1,244 inmates that are now eligible to be released from prison early. Those are nonviolent, non-sexual offenders, possibly in a high-risk category. We know we've seen some lawsuits coming from the ACLU and others seeking the release of inmates who are at risk for developing complications from COVID-19, seeking them to be released from prison. It's unclear where those 1,200 or so inmates fall in that, but we heard late last week that the state parole board would be considering them for early release. Of course, they'll be having to go through those on a case-by-case basis, so it's unclear how long that is going to take. We also heard late last week, Friday and Saturday were part of what Governor Asa Hutchinson called his Arkansas Surge campaign. That was essentially a big push to get everyone who does have symptoms of the coronavirus to get tested. Essentially, Governor Hutchinson saying that his goal was to get 1,500 tests done each day on Friday and Saturday last week. That's about 500 more than what is the state's normal number of tests that we do each day. Although late last week, we did see the highest number of tests that we've ever completed in a day in the state among UAMS, the Department of Health, and public various private laboratory companies. That number was a little over 2,000 in a 24-hour period. And now we're going to join Governor Asa Hutchinson's live daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak. This is KYR 89.1.
Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining me for the daily COVID-19 update. I know that everybody's wondering where Eddie is. Eddie will be here shortly, but we needed to go ahead and start. So I apologize for that, and that's on us for not getting that notification out. And the reason we're having this today at noon instead of our usual 1:30 time is simply because the president scheduled a call with the governors at 1, and so I wanted to be able to participate in that and actually talk about some of the things that we're doing in Arkansas. And so we proceeded today at noon. And so thank you for joining us. I'm glad to be joined again by Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of Department of Health, and of course, Director A.J. Gary is with us from Adam. I first wanted to wish a happy birthday shout out to Miss Maddie Walters, who turns 103 years young today. She's a resident of Pleasant Manor Nursing and Rehab, and I wanted to wish Maddie a happy birthday today. And of course, as being in a nursing home, she can't be surrounded by family, but the whole state of Arkansas wishes you well today. And then I also wanted to express my thanks for Walmart. It's already been noticed, but I have not thanked them for setting up the drive-through testing site here in central Arkansas that will focus both on healthcare workers, but also on those that might be symptomatic. And so we applaud them and their partnership with Quest Labs to have another addition to our testing capability here in the state of Arkansas. I wanted to give you the case report first, which is yesterday, and of course we were out yesterday, but yesterday we had 2,941 cases. We have an additional 76 cases in Arkansas that brings our total to 3,017. We have two additional hospitalizations that brings it to 109. We have one additional death that brings that to 50. So 3,017 cases, and of course Dr. Smith will elaborate on the specifics surrounding that. And so that leads me to with the announcements that are coming up Wednesday and later on in this week, I wanted to review the gating criteria that was set out by the Opening Up America Again phases that the White House released. And it's in this form, as you can recall, where you had the three different categories of gates that you are supposed to meet, or criteria you're supposed to meet: symptoms, cases, and hospitals. I've broke that down into three different charts that I wanted to go over with you, but we're taking it straight from there. But first, if you'll go and look at the simply the chart on the number of cases, which is one of the gating criteria, and you can see that we're on a downward trajectory with the latest results. Of course, we had the peak that was because of the outbreak in Cummins that's being managed, but you see the downward trend with the one in the last 24 hours that looks like that's about 70 cases that we've had. So we like the way that's look and that way that is trending. If you go to the next one, this is really the, I wanted to show the results of our testing surge. We had a 2-day testing surge that we emphasized, and I set as a goal that we would go from an average of about 1,000 tests up to 1,500. And so that's April 24, which runs about a day behind. You see the 25th and the 26th. On each of those days, we were over 1,500 in tests. And we're very, very delighted and want to thank all of Arkansas for, if you had symptoms, go get tested, you responded. And it gives us a better sampling as to where we are in the state. And I want to thank the hospitals that and the clinics that really emphasized this over the last couple of days, last 3 days. And so we met our goal on that. We exceeded the 1,500 and very pleased with it. If you go to the next slide, this is just an itemization. This starts through the gating criteria. And the first gating criteria that we're supposed to satisfy before proceeding to phased opening, phase one opening. And the first criteria is on symptoms, which is a downward trajectory of influenza-like illnesses, which is the ILI reported, within 14-day period, and a downward trajectory of COVID-like syndromic cases reported within a 14-day period. And so those are the first category. Let's go to the next slide. Let's see how we're doing on this. And so this is that, you know, this is the essence, which is the percent of daily emergency room visits for COVID-19-like illness in Arkansas. And you can see from this that it starts on April 2nd and that you see that downward trajectory for the COVID-like illnesses in Arkansas. And then the other category was the And so go to the next one, which is the percent of weekly outpatient visits for influenza-like illnesses in Arkansas. And this is by week, but you can see by the week category that we're on that downward trend in that category as well. We're very pleased with those results and where we are in the state in regards to that downward trend. And then let's go look at the next category of criteria, which is cases and the downward trajectory of documented cases within a 14-day period. Now, you know that as you look at the downward trajectory, we're on a downward slope, but we haven't been there for 14 days. And that's important, and that's what they talk about nationally. Some states open up, you haven't been on a downward trajectory for 14 days. I remind everyone that there is flexibility that's given to the states, but even with that, it says downward trajectory of documented cases or a downward trajectory of positive tests as a percent of total tests within a 14-day period, flat or increasing volume of tests. And so that is something that's very important. We've talked about our positivity ratio of tests, and let's go to the next slide and see how we're doing on that. And this is the percent of COVID-19 positive tests by date of result here in the state of Arkansas. And so if we do a 100 tests and we have 10 that are positive, that's a 10% ratio for positivity. And you can see on March 10th that we had a spike that we were running about over a 30% positivity rate on tests that we were giving. And of course it varies over time because a lot of it is whether you're dealing in a nursing home environment where you have a number of positive tests or whether you're in a prison system or what where the tests are coming from. But over time, you can see that it came down to a flattened area, and then you see around April 19th, it shot up again because, again, we had the outbreak that was in the Cummins unit. But you can see then that we've had a positive decline of our positive test, our positivity here in Arkansas, and that's on the right trend and the right trajectory. And then the last category of criteria for the moving to phase one is where we are on hospitals. Our ability to handle an outbreak and to provide care. And it's to treat all patients without crisis care, which means we have adequate hospital facilities, adequate ventilators here in this state, and Dr. Smith can comment on that, but without any question, we have more than adequate in both categories of ventilators and hospital beds so that all patients can be treated without having a crisis environment, and that you have a robust testing program in place, but it emphasizes for at-risk healthcare workers. So. And we've had that in place for some time, where all healthcare workers have had a priority in testing, whether it's from the Walmart and Quest partnership or whether it is from our Department of Health that has prioritized our healthcare workers. And so we've had that criteria that has been met also. Let's see, is there another slide? I think that covered those slides that I wanted to cover. And I think that really tells the story that in terms of the gating criteria that was given by the White House, it's looking positive in terms of the trends, the trajectory here in the state of Arkansas. And with that, let me turn it over to Dr. Smith for his comments.
This is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Thank you, Governor. And I really appreciate you going through the gating criteria so people can understand what that is and then understand where we are with respect to that. I'm going to give a few more details, and welcome, Eddie. I'm going to give a few more details on the numbers. As the governor mentioned, we've had 76 new cases since yesterday. Of those, 60 were from the community. And 16 were from the Cummins unit. So as the governor mentioned, our total is 3,017. We have no new counties. Of those 3,017 cumulative cases, 316 are healthcare workers. That's 13 up from yesterday. We have 203 who are residents of nursing homes and 115 staff at nursing homes. An update from the Cummins unit, we are up to a total of 856 cases. We have only about 32 test results yet pending, so we may have a few extras, but we're almost done with testing almost the entire inmate population. We are up to 50 staff. We have about 15 pending as well, so we may have a few more. But we have tested a majority of the staff. And current hospitalized, the governor mentioned, 109, which is a net gain of 2 from yesterday. Currently on a ventilator is 25, and deaths, as the governor mentioned, is 50. I want to talk briefly about our testing. As the governor mentioned, we were able to exceed 1,500 test reports for the last 2 days. Now, our two-day surge was Friday and Saturday, but then it takes at least 24 hours to get the results back on those. We will probably continue to have some results from Friday and Saturday that are reported today and tomorrow. And I'm hoping that we will continue to exceed 1,500 for as many days as we can. In terms of our reports from yesterday, we did have 1,506 reports with a positivity rate of 1.8%, which is much lower than our average positivity rate of 7.5%. And I should also note that we have total tests for the state have been 40,074. Of the 1,506, I just need to give a shout out to the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Lab. They upped their game. They gave they contributed 201 to those yesterday and 254 the day before. So I think everyone's been working very hard towards optimizing our testing. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to the governor.
And with that, we'll be happy to take any questions. Yes, sir.
Tennessee is opening restaurants today. And yesterday, they
reported. You are in the meeting now.
And yesterday, they reported their single highest case increase of 478. Do you have any concerns that some of our border states might be moving a little too quickly and that could affect Arkansas?
Well, I mean, we have a close relationship with Tennessee right across the river. There's a lot of interchange, particularly in Memphis and Arkansas, but also you go up to Dyersburg, Tennessee, and there's a number of people that work in our steel plants in Northeast Arkansas that live in Dyersburg. And so there is that connection there. So we do watch that. I know Dr. Smith is in contact with their director of health in Tennessee as well. I think Governor Lee has been handling it well. Of course, he opened it up, broadly in the state, but left some of their cities are handling it differently. So a little bit varied, which just simply reflects that every state's looking at where they are a little bit differently. But we watch it. Obviously, they have more cases than we do here in Arkansas. And we hope to learn both from what's happened in Tennessee, but also what's happening in Georgia. Dr. Smith and I visited with that a little bit, and I think as they open it up, we're going to be instructed in the next few days and week as to what happens in those states as well. So we do learn from each other.
Tyson officials and some other meat processors are predicting potential food chain supply shortages. Any reaction to that, or have you been in contact with them on kind of what their status is?
We have, and obviously the fact that we have, I believe it's over 60 food processing plants here in Arkansas indicates that Arkansas is critical in not just our own food chain, but the nation and the world's food chain. And so the success and the health of those workers in the processing plants are very critical. And I know that Secretary Smith has worked with those in setting up the right health guidelines, but they've really gone the extra mile in it. And their chairman had the letter to the editor, printed letter in multiple publications across the country, just emphasizing how important their health and their processing plants are to the nation's food chain. And we haven't had any go down in Arkansas. While they've had some of them go down in other states, we've hoped that we don't have them go down in Arkansas, and if they do, we can work with them to get them back in operation quickly, because they are very essential. But I appreciate the way Tyson's and some of the other companies has handled those processing plants.
Are there any specifics on what the state will do if it does get to that point? I mean, is there a plan in place, I guess I should ask?
Dr. Smith, do you want to comment a little bit on our work with the processing plants? In from a health standpoint, in terms of, I don't expect we're going to get there with, you know, I think they'll stay in operation. We've got to get to the point, which I believe we are, that if there is a positive case, you're going to go in, you're going to clean it out, you're going to treat it, and you're going to be back in operation. And so I hope that's the case in Arkansas as well.
Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Certainly, I agree with the governor. If we do have a cluster of cases in one of the plants, then I think we already have plans in place how we would deal with that in terms from their perspective, from the cleaning, and from our perspective, how we do the contact investigation. We've gotten a lot of experience with that recently, and we can do those fairly rapidly. We did have a small team from the health department go for a visit, not a formal inspection, and informal consultation last week. And so I think we're together on the same page, and we're impressed with what they're doing.
Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned a call with the White House at 1 p.m. Is there a specific reason for this call, or is it more of an update with the governors and President Trump? Or?
We have had regular calls with the White House once a week, if not more. And the Vice President is always, as the head of the task force, participating in it. And this call, the President will be participating in it as well. I know that we'll be talking about testing, and that capability. We'll probably be talking about funding and the debate in Congress over what the states can expect in the next round of funding. But it's not unusual for the President to engage, but and he listens. They're long calls sometimes, and gives the governors opportunity to talk about what's happening in their state. We learn from each other.
Can you give an update on how many Cummins inmates are hospitalized and how many are showing symptoms?
Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
As of 6 p.m. yesterday, there were a total of six inmates hospitalized, four at UAMS and two at Jefferson Regional. I asked specifically yesterday about how many were being cared for in their field hospital, and at that time they had none. And they said they would let us know if they had any that needed to be cared for in their field hospital within the unit. In terms of symptoms, that's a very fluid, difficult number to get a hold of. The vast majority of those tested did not have symptoms at the time that they were tested, but individuals may have developed symptoms since then. So that's a bit of a moving target. I would have to have you direct those questions to Department of Corrections.
Let's go remotely. Is there any question remotely?
Yeah, Governor, Andrew with AP, wanted to see on the testing surge, wanted to see if you could break down, give us more specific numbers for each of those days, and also wanted to see if Dr. Smith had any sense of how things are going with elective surgeries resuming, if there's any sense of how many places have been able to do it, and if there's been, what impact that's had on testing demand as well.
Well, in terms of the number of tests each day, we reported on April 24, a little over 1,000 tests. On April 25, there were about a little over 1,500 tests. and the same thing for April 26. You wanted the exact number, which we will be happy to provide. Do you have that, Dr. Smith? I'll let you go ahead and give the specifics and answer that second question.
And Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
Yes, I'm going to give numbers specifically. Well, I can give numbers for Friday, but realize that doesn't reflect the number of tests that were done on Friday. But on that Friday, we had 1,079 tests total with a 7.9% positivity. On Saturday, we had 1,598 tests with a 4.8% positivity. And then yesterday we had 1,506 tests done with a 1.8% positivity.
And he had another question, I think.
Was there a second question?
Yeah, the other question was how on the resuming elective surgeries, have you gotten a sense of how many places have been able to resume elective surgeries and how much of an impact that's having on that test demand as well?
Yes, the directive on resuming elective procedures goes into place today, and so we don't have much experience to report back on that yet. Again, the recognition was that not every facility would be equally well prepared to meet all the criteria. Remember, elective surgery, resuming elective surgery is really a phase one activity that, according to the White House guidance, we wouldn't have initiated until we entered phase one and met those gating criteria. We put out some fairly stringent criteria, though, that we knew from the science and from other sources of experience would allow us to do those procedures on a limited basis safely. And it includes things like PPE and screening of all cases within 48 hours of the procedure. Again, not an easy threshold for all facilities to meet, but those who can, we wanted to enable them to be able to resume elective procedures on a limited basis even before we met the full gating criteria for phase one.
Yeah. Yes.
This is Shikari with the Pavlov Commercial in the White House Journal. Can you give us an update on the plasma donations in the state if the need is still being met?
Sorry. Can you ask that question one more time? Was it plans for donations?
I'm sorry, yes. My question is, can you give us an update on the plasma donations and if the need is still being met?
Plasma donations.
Health Secretary
yes,
Nate Smith.
The question has to do with using plasma, convalescent plasma. This is plasma donated by people who have recovered from COVID-19 infection, and those antibodies in that plasma we think will be helpful to those who are acutely ill. Again, this is a strategy that's been used for a number of other infectious diseases successfully. And we are doing that here. We were one of the first states to set up a donation program, and we actually encourage all of those who have recovered from COVID-19 infection to consider donating plasma because this can be hopefully life-saving. We've had a number of patients who have received convalescent plasma here in the state, hospitalized patients who are very ill, and at least the reports I've received from the physicians is a number of them have shown clinical improvement. Again, we don't have all the clinical trials data out on this, but it is a strategy that we know works for a number of different infectious diseases, and we have started to see some positive results on a case-by-case basis, but really would like to encourage those who have recovered from COVID-19 to consider donating plasma. And I don't have the numbers for the number who have donated so far or received yet, but I'll have those for you for tomorrow.
Smith, Rolly Hoyt from THV11. Taking off a little on what Andrew's question was, what's your anxiety level today as elective surgeries begin, and in terms of how much PPE is out there, and what are you watching for as these healthcare facilities ramp up again? Do you feel like there's enough PPE out there to go around as more and more companies come online?
Thank you for the question, and I'll tackle it first and let Dr. Smith comment, but in terms of the elective procedures and surgeries that are authorized today, I mean, the first requirement is that the patient have a COVID-19 test within 48 hours. And there's been some, you know, concern expressed as to whether we can get that turnaround in time. And I know that Dr. Smith and UAMS is working on making sure that that capability is there. So we're working hard to address that, but that is something that is necessary and will give us better protection and safety, but also a better sense as to where we are with any outbreaks of COVID across the state. The second part of your question is in reference to PPE, and our supply chain continues to grow. And what we're seeing is that there's now multiple channels for that protective equipment to get to the clinics and the hospitals. It's partly their supply chain, it's partly what comes from the FEMA channels, and it partly comes from the state. And so with all of that combined, we're much more optimistic and comfortable as to where we are with the PPE.
Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
Yes, as I think you recognize that from the beginning, we've had challenges with PPE, although that seems to be improving somewhat as supplies are a little bit more available. The FDA has also helped with categorizing some items through an emergency use authorization. For example, KN95 masks, which is a different designation in other countries, they've now, through an emergency use authorization, allowed those to be used where we would use an N95 mask. So that opens it up a little bit. We also have a PPE decontamination unit we're expecting to arrive from FEMA in the state later this week. Once that's operational, hopefully the week after, that will be an option for actually being able to decontaminate some of our PPE so it can be used more than once.
I think it was a couple weeks ago you announced that the state was sending some ventilators to Louisiana to help there. Do you know if those ventilators are still there or they've been returned?
Governor Edwards indicated that they were in good shape, and so they were not sent because the state of Louisiana said they were no longer needed. But he called and made sure that we understood in Arkansas how much they did appreciate that willingness to send those ventilators there.
Governor, this is Drew Smith with Times Record in Fort Smith. Would you say that this surge is ongoing, and how sustainable is it to continue increasing the number of tests that Arkansas is taking?
I think the question is how sustainable and how can we continue to increase testing in Arkansas. You're going to continue to see that testing capacity grow because of the emphasis at the national level in pushing our manufacturers, our suppliers to continue to grow that capacity and inventory. And so I'm confident that it will continue to be increasing in availability. In terms of our own testing, and Dr. Smith has helped educate me on this, he is the infectious disease expert that we're very, very lucky to have here. But, you know, the focus has got to be on the contact tracing, and that's what we have continued strength and capacity in the Department of Health. And then the other testing is based upon the symptoms. And that is, as we've seen over the weekend, we have the capacity to do that. But if people don't have symptoms, they're not going to get tested. Well, if they don't have symptoms, that's a good sign for our state. And so part of that is dependent upon demand. And then the third part of it would be the antibody testing that we will bring online whenever it really gets refined to the right point. It'll be a good tool to use next year. Dr. Smith, do you want to add to that?
Health Secretary Nate Smith.
I agree with everything the governor has said. I think the only thing I would add to that is that through the course of the last several weeks, we've seen rate-limiting steps with regard to testing in various pinch points. Currently, probably the rate-limiting step is the availability of swabs to hospitals, clinics, other providers. And that's real, and I don't want to downplay that, but swabs are not like ventilators. They don't take that long to produce, and we will expect to see more and more of those available, and then more and more different types of swabs have been authorized through EUA, Emergency Use Authorization by FDA for use in this way. So I think that that is currently the pinch point for testing. People who say that we don't have the supplies for testing, it's mostly the swabs, but that should be corrected fairly soon.
Right. To the table, right here. Yeah, no, just we're at the table.
Governor, do you know if Walmart and Quest Labs plan to set up testing locations at other places in Arkansas?
I do not know the answer to that. I know that initially, they were looking at hot spots across the country, and they concentrated on a few states. And then they came to Arkansas, and they did their first lab in Bentonville area, and then they expanded it here in Little Rock area. I hope that that is a partnership that will continue. It's very useful. It's drive-in. It gives us greater capacity in Arkansas. So I hope so, but there's not any definite plans that I'm aware of. Are you, Doctor? All right, we'll stay at the table for one more question, and we'll go remote.
In regards to the PPE and supplies, are there any other Arkansas manufacturers who have jumped onto that? I know L'Oreal was doing their thing, but do we have any other manufacturers within the state that have sort of pledged to help the state out?
I know that we have a couple of manufacturers that are looking at it. And we've been in touch with them. I know one personally and their capacity, and they would have to switch their manufacturing totally to PPE, but it's a future opportunity for them, and I guarantee you I would love to have that manufacturing opportunity right here in the state, so we're not so dependent upon the global marketplace. So we'll continue to work on that and see if I don't have the Defense Production Act at my disposal that I can actually do that, but I know we got some good entrepreneurs that are looking at that as an opportunity. Let's go remotely for a question.
Governor, this is Lance Turner at Arkansas Business. I had another question about the food supply chain. You note that Arkansas is doing well. We've had no closures so far. Are our guidelines different from other states? Are we doing something different that maybe other states are not? And how exactly are we monitoring our food supply chain in the state? And not to just keep asking questions, but is there something missing in regards to national policy on food processing guidelines? Is there a consistency that needs to happen there, or what do you think?
Dr. Smith, I'm gonna let you address that. You know, in terms of the how our guidelines compare with other states. I know we've worked very hard on it. I think it really reflects to a certain extent the fact that we have those processors right here in Arkansas. They understand what's at stake, the critical nature of their work, and they're investing in it themselves. And so they're incentivized and they're doing it, obviously in partnership with the Department of Health. But in terms of also the monitoring of our food supply chain, I think every consumer monitors it every day when they go into the store and they see where there's a shortage and not. And so we get very quick information on that. It is something to watch. And early on, it was a problem because people were doing panic buying. That has subsided, and now it's a little bit more of the processing plants itself and their continued production. Arkansas is key, again, both in terms of processing, but also in terms of the transportation and the supply chain. So we will continue to monitor that, but I'm very optimistic that with our leaders here in Arkansas, that it will continue to be very, very strong and reliable.
I guess in terms of monitoring more about worker safety aspects, because I think some of those plants across the country have had to close because of infections. And so, do we routinely monitor now for COVID-19 standards in our food processing plants, or is that, I mean, how would that work, or how does that work?
This is Dr. Smith. Yes, part of that visit last week was to look at and to see what sort of worker safety procedures or protocols had already been implemented and where there might be areas for improvement. And it's not just on the plant floor. It's making sure you don't have clustering in the break areas where people who might be infected might spread to others. Another aspect of this, of course, is how much COVID-19 spread is going on in the surrounding communities. If you've got a rip-roaring epidemic around a plant, it's going to be really, really hard to keep it out of the plant. In our case, Arkansas has one of the lowest case rates per population in the country, and that helps our plants in terms of keeping COVID-19 out of their plants or keeping it contained if it comes in. I would also say that we've also been very intentional in Arkansas about trying to make sure that we are adequately reaching some of the harder to reach groups in terms of culture and language barriers. We've had a number of materials in Spanish and also in the in Marshallese, the language of the Republic of the Marshall Islands. We know that many of our immigrants from the Republic of the Marshall Islands are involved in the poultry processing industry. Over the weekend, we tested about 250 Marshallese, and we had 4 positive. So we are monitoring that group very closely, and at this point, does not look like we have a problem with spread of COVID-19 in that community.
Jay,
is there any concern in just the slow uptick in hospitalizations? I mean, I get it's not at crisis level, but I know that was emphasized early on as to what the bigger picture is, but that number just kind of keeps going upward.
The hospitalizations are always going to lag a bit behind cases. And remember, a lot of our testing in the nursing homes have been among asymptomatic individuals. And so there was a bit of a lead time there where we were detecting these cases earlier than we might otherwise. And they can go from asymptomatic to symptomatic to hospitalized. So we will have to watch that carefully and see, but we will expect that eventually to start heading downward, but maybe not right away.
Update on what the average hospital stay has been? I know a couple weeks ago you said it was about 6 to 7 days.
I have not done a repeat analysis on it. It's very difficult when you've got a lot of people who are still in the hospital. But we know anecdotally that some of these hospitalizations have been much longer, especially those who require mechanical ventilation. Something that was very encouraging to me, though, was our very first case in Jefferson Regional was discharged from the hospital, released from the hospital last week.
And then I guess what's been the average for somebody who's been on a vent?
On a vent, that's also difficult because a lot of folks still are on a vent, but it tends to be weeks.
Let's do just a couple more questions. So is there another question remotely?
Yes, Governor, here in Hot Springs for Dr. Smith. The 1.8% positivity, I recognize that would call for some speculation, but so much under the other. Do you have any idea why that was? And that's good news, but why the positivity rate would be so low in yesterday's tests?
The question had to do with why our 1.8% positivity rate yesterday was so much lower than our average and what we had seen previously. I think there's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, we've opened up the criteria, so more people are being tested. In the past, we were really testing higher risk individuals, but also we've seen our outbreak at the Cummins unit, for example, is wrapping up in terms of testing, and we had a lot of testing in nursing homes previously and not as much now. So I think some of these, when we were testing in the Cummins unit in particular, we were seeing a much, much higher positivity rate because we know we had a lot of people exposed in a contained setting. I think our 1.8 is representing more what we would expect in testing in the community.
We're getting
Does that mean that 7.5% overall figure included the Cummins people and the nursing home people?
It did. And also remember, our testing criteria were a lot stricter several weeks ago. We had less capability of doing testing, so we were trying to focus on those who were at the highest risk.
We're getting some reports that there was some type of cyber attack at UAMS over the weekend. Do you have any updates on that, or it impacted the hospital's ability to respond to the virus at all?
They've got it remedied. And so it was a quick turnaround by their IT department. I got notification of that, I believe it was yesterday, Sunday. And really within 12 hours, it was remedied, and it did not interfere with us getting those testing results. Is there one final question? Did I hear one other person remotely?
Yes, Governor. Now Dominguez here. I would like to know if hotels, motels, and vacations, rentals are in the list of phase one or two for the lowering restrictions.
The question is whether motels and lodging, those restrictions are lifted any, is that a phase one or phase two? And first of all, you know, we have limited our state park lodging. And closed our state park lodges. And so there have been restrictions there. In terms of overall hotel lodging, the restrictions are on out-of-state travelers. And that has just simply been our focus in Arkansas to make sure that those from hotspots aren't coming back in here. We expect that to stay in place for some time. In terms of the phases, phase one is still where travel is discouraged, even as you enter into phase one. And that's actually a good point to end today's conversation, is that as we look at the gating criteria that Arkansas is doing very well on to enter phase one and the other phases still emphasize that we have to do our social distancing. We need to continue to wear masks whenever social distancing does not work. So I encourage everybody, when we talk about opening up, first, we didn't close everything down in Arkansas. We've been open for many businesses that have been closed in other states, but we will start looking at lifting some of the existing restrictions on some of our businesses. But as we do that, we're still gonna continue to emphasize the social distancing and careful so that we make sure we don't have a resurgence of this virus. With that, thank you all very much today.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief rundown of what the numbers are today. We heard the state has seen 76 additional cases from yesterday, bringing the total number of coronavirus cases in Arkansas to 3,017. Two more people have been hospitalized for a total of 109, and one more person has died to bring the total number of deaths from COVID-19 to 50. We also heard the number of inmates at the Cummins Unit State Prison near Pine Bluff has risen to 856. That's 856 inmates at the Cummins Unit who have tested positive for the coronavirus, as well as 50 staff at that prison as well. We heard Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith say they are almost finished testing all of the inmates and staff at that prison, but we could still expect that number to go up a little bit. We heard there were just over 1,500 test results received by the state yesterday, with a much lower positivity rate, only about 2%, as opposed to an average of 7.5%. Health Secretary Smith saying that's mainly because testing has been opened up to a wider swath of the population. And we heard a little bit about the gating criteria, which we will begin to hear this week. Governor Hutchinson will be announcing whether he will, he'll essentially be making decisions this week and announcing whether certain things like bars, restaurants, hair salons will open on May 4th. And you're listening to KUAR 89.1.